We're going to be growing, and we need to be able to support the growth and to change the fabric of our city. We need to be pretty poignant on how we're going to be missional. I think through those on a daily basis.
You're listening to Vintage Stories. I'm Jennifer Murphy.
And I'm Michael Murphy. This particular episode was actually recorded before the stay-at-home orders and before we all had to be doing social distancing.
This episode is an interview with Ellie Ismail. She came on Vintage staff as the Executive Director of Strategy and Operations. There's also possibly a little something special at the end. She shares one of her talents, so make sure you listen all the way through.
Yeah, for sure. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive in.
What were you doing before you came on staff here?
Prior to this position, I was working as a director of operations for a small startup, but it was a pretty fast-growing company. We were focused on providing energy storage for solar and wind power. Before that, I was in technical sales with a power management company as well for 5 years, but my background's industrial engineering.
Well, this seems like just a natural fit from that career that you had going in power engineering to...
Power the gospel?
Yeah. Oh, hey-o.
Where'd you go to college?
Florida State University. I wasn't going to say the Florida State University in Tallahassee. And prior to that, I actually started at a community college. So I got my associates in pre-engineering in Panama City at Gulf Coast Community College.
Is it awesome? Sounds like it was awesome the way you said it.
They called it Harvard by the Bay. And it was actually a really good way of putting it. But no, it was enjoyable. It was a bit of a culture shock growing up in Indiana, moving there right out of high school. You know, my first day in English class, you know, with all these students and they're in flip-flops and board shorts.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was a big difference. We would get in trouble in high school in Indiana if we wore flip-flops. So it was a big difference.
Yeah. So did you grow up in Indiana then?
Born and raised, still a Colts fan. And most of my family is still there as well.
Did you grow up going to church? Like, what's your background? When did you come to have a personal relationship with Jesus? And, you know, how long have you been at Vintage? Like, what's that story?
A little bit of my faith background. I grew up in the church, a non-denominational Christian church. Through growing up, I was, you know, dealt some bad cards, so to speak. Just some challenging moments. And I would say in my teens and early 20s, I kind of walked away from the Lord in those moments, just really trying to, what I would say is find anything to escape kind of the hard times I was going through. But the Lord was just beside me and provided some amazing friendships. And then my brother being strong in his faith, he's 4 years older than me. I just was thankful that the Lord continued to still stay by my side. Even though I was a bit astray, he was still like, nice. I still love you, daughter. Like, I'm still here, and would just kind of keep his presence known. And I didn't understand that connection with sure. Christ. And so that didn't come along until I was in college. Some friends of mine invited me to go to a Christian concert at Six Flags in Atlanta. Jeremy Camp was there, and I just kind of had a minor crush on Jeremy Camp. And I was like, I want to go see Jeremy Camp. And but I just really liked his music. And so we went, and there was an actual speaker there. And, you know, I'm never really a huge fan of, like, beat someone over the head with the Bible. You know, you're going to hell. That's, you know, but that kind of got me.
But it worked.
It kind of worked. No, but basically, you know, what he said was, yeah, because I would always wear a cross around my neck. And he mentioned, he was like, you know, guys, if you think about it, you know what that cross really represents? You know, he died for our sins. And so every time you're sinning, it's like you're crucifying him all over again. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, it was just kind of like harsh and dark feeling. But to some extent, it was the reality of just like our brokenness. But so for me, it was just the realization how much in denial I was of my brokenness and where I was. And just the things I was seeking out to find fulfillment. And just realizing I need to find that in Christ. I made a lot of changes in my life, reading the scripture more, and the words were just coming alive. And so it was just really cool to see just that transformation of letting go of just those things that I was trying to take control of and trusting in God with it. And I got really involved with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Literally the last month before I left, I got baptized at that church there to represent, like, nice. God, I'm with you. I'm glad you're with me. And I want to serve my life for you. When I first moved here, to Raleigh in 2011. I had a girlfriend that I knew from Florida State that was here a year prior. And so I reached out to her. I was like, hey, let's get together. I was like, are you going to church anywhere? She's like, yeah, I'm going to this place called Vintage 21. Or if I remember what the name was, like, Vintage 21.
Do I have to be 21 to go?
That was, I was like, what's the 21? She's like, I'm not really sure. I think like 21st century, I think. I was like, okay. She's like, but you should come. It's really cool. And then we have small groups that meet on Wednesday nights, and you should come with me for that. I was like, okay, cool. I just wanted to get in and get to know people. Here we are. It's 2020, and yeah. Now I'm working for Vintage.
9 years later.
Yeah, but I met my husband actually that first week that I went to Vintage to that small group, and we were friends for about 4 months, and then he asked me out, and then 8 months after that, we got married. So
whoa.
It was pretty quick.
That's awesome.
Bada boom, bada bing.
Yeah.
This is history. Yeah, no doubt.
So you were going here for a while before anybody asked you to come on staff. Who brought that up? Or is it something that you sort of introduced?
So at the time, my husband and I, my mother-in-law, Vicky Ismail, we were looking at opening up a wedding venue down in the Cary area. And the property manager of the event place we were looking at asked to see our resume. So she was CC'd in that email that had my resume. A couple months went by, and you know, I'm in the parking lot getting ready to go to dinner with some customers, and I get a call from my mother-in-law, and she goes, hey. I was like, hi. She's like, you know, I love you. And I was like, yeah. I was like, what'd you do? And she's like, well, I gave Tyler and John your resume. Okay, so I'm just sitting here and just, you know, waiting. She's like, you know, they're looking for someone to step in to be like a COO. And I just thought of you. I thought it'd be a great fit. I knew you weren't super happy where you were. So I just went ahead and I gave him your resume. And I was like, okay. She's like, but anyways, Tyler's going to call you because he was just super impressed. He's going to call you. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, like I knew Tyler for the most part. I've been 8 years and you know, the other executive leaders, John and Matt, but not like in that kind of sense. Yeah. And so I was a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. You know, Tyler's going to call me and he's like, let's just explore this a little bit. So I met with him after church, literally for like 2 minutes. He's just in and out. And he's like, do you wake up thinking about strategic planning? I was like, I do. He's like, that's great. All right, let's continue this conversation. We'll get with John and see what Matt's doing. We'll grab breakfast or lunch or something. We'll just continue the discussion. I was like, okay, sounds great. And he's up the stairs. So some time went by because I had to digest this. This would have been a career change for me. I mean, quite honestly, being a female in the STEM industry, especially in the renewable energy, being a leader is very new. And so I felt a little bit of that kind of responsibility of leading the charge for women in the industrial field, but especially in renewable energy industry. And recognizing that and letting that go was a bit hard for me, but realizing that's not my identity. What my work is not who I am. And me just being a female isn't, yes, it's, I'm a female. God created me to be a female, but it's like, I'm a vessel for God. I want to be on mission for God and where he calls me. If that's out of this career into this other career field, then I'll do it. After realizing and really in prayer and talking to my husband a lot about it, and even talking with John Kerr about it, just thinking through, because he, when he came on board, it was kind of similar, him coming from IBM and kind of getting his feel for what it was like to move from that career into ministry. And looking at it as a career change, I had to realize, no, I was in ministry there, and I'm in ministry here, but now I'm in a church setting. So that was a bit of an adjustment for me just coming from corporate. But with that said, that was one of the reasons they felt I was a good fit, that I could bring some of that corporate understanding and structure into Vintage Church. And the reason for that is with the planning of West, we now had 4 Vintage churches, and through the advisement of, you know, sound counsel saying Vintage needs to get a little more structured operationally. You got your organism of the church, but you got the operations piece.
True.
And so I kind of shifted my career, but I'm still doing operations in the same sense. And it was amazing how, you know, equipped with these giftings and understanding and knowledge of things, and then adapting and bringing them into the church setting has been pretty fun.
Is it what you expected it would be?
Expected it to be.
You had to have an idea of what your day-to-day was going to feel like. Or maybe not. Maybe you're just taking a big faithful step and saying, hey, let's see what comes about.
I was not expecting the camaraderie that existed in the staff as much as there is.
Nice.
Just extremely kind and welcoming and gracious. To me, I just wasn't expecting that. I think where I was coming from, just to be able to be in a work environment where there's forgiveness and grace. I mean, obviously we're not an enabling kind of organization, but we're kind, we're supportive. We have each other's backs, and I'm just grateful for that. And so to me, I think I didn't expect that, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. So you discovered a really good culture, I guess, here at the staff level. Mm-hmm. So I said COO, is that accurate, or what exactly?
Executive director. It's the quick way of saying it, but really it's executive director of strategy and operations. And Tyler was really strategic in putting strategy and operations in that order, just because he really wanted me to help facilitate and install strategy behind our mission and our goals and how we go about loving the city as a church body. And then the second piece, the operational piece, is the day-to-day operations of HR, the financial budget, the finances of things, ensuring, you know, overall HR training and safety, those sort of things, and dealing with issues, y'all, and with any group of people that there are, and just working through those day-to-day type of things. With the 20-year plan that Tyler has, or vision, I should say, more than anything, putting the first-year goals, the 5-year goals, 10, 15, 20, what that looks like, and providing that backbone. So it gives us some kind of visibility. And obviously, the Holy Spirit's going to do whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. And, and so that there's that balance of how much structure do you put in a process but not enable the organism to not move and bend to what the Holy Spirit wants to have happen. I mean, God's going to do whatever he wants to do. And I think that's pretty evident with where we are today with everything that's going on with the coronavirus, kind of how we've been operating with that. Just never in our minds would we imagine things would be shutting down like they do. And things just don't go to plan as you thought. But how do we adjust to that still with the joy and rejoicing in the Lord at the same time?
Yeah.
But also instilling peace and calmness and some sense of stability when there's moments of chaos and things like that. So I think that's where structure and strategy and planning comes to be useful within an organization, so that people have clarity on kind of what some expectations will be. It improves communication, which improves relationships. And so that's what we're really striving for.
So what is your day-to-day like? What are the kind of things that you do?
I'm looking to see if people have interest in nonprofits, and then learning more about what it takes to start a nonprofit. I'm used to starting a for-profit, so now learning a little bit about nonprofits, but building those relationships with others that have started nonprofits, gaining that understanding, and supporting those to think through if they have interest in starting a nonprofit, and helping them through that, and just being gracious with providing as much information to them as I can, or connecting them with people that know more than I do, or any one of us here at the church. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I do each week. But also just thinking through strategy planning, looking at budget, managing that, and forecasting for the next year. Mm-hmm. And then just any other initiatives we have. The other part too is just updating things like our employee handbook, just essential standard operational things, developing our emergency response plans, which obviously God's like, it needs to be done now because it's happening now. So we are in the midst of that, because what it's allowing us to do is to see our weak spots. And I don't think it's just Vintage Church. I think it's everywhere. Sometimes when problems happen, it's a good thing because you can learn from it and grow.
What's been your favorite thing that you've worked on or done since you started on staff here?
I have to say it's been those moments where we've had to come together as a team and think through a problem and provide a solution to it. And that's been a lot of what I've been dealing with, because it's just like, these are things we've seen and we haven't really had a chance to work on it because we're ministering. Not that operations can't be a ministry, but it's they're shepherding and caring for the people, and the organization is just the best that we can do. And so now with me coming in, I can focus on the operations and think through how we can make something leaner, more cost effective, easier to use, and overall how can we improve the communication between our staff and our members and the visitors and the community. That's kind of been my project to help bring into Vintage Church operations. Mm. I think where I am right now is just it's enjoying to work in that moment with them.
When did you start rapping? Do you still rap?
So no.
Now's your time. You got the mic.
Yeah. Am I blushing?
We can lay down a beat for you.
In college, back when I had my guitar, I do love hip hop. I listened to oldies and West Coast rap, hardcore rap growing up, which I would not recommend, but because it's just not healthy. But anyways, sure. I like a good beat. I like some bass. But I really like the stories that in rap music, I feel like there's more time to speak, obviously, mm-hmm. in a rap, but there's a lot of story. One of the things I liked about Christian rap specifically is that it's literally like a sermon in it, mm-hmm. and it was just enjoyable. So I was getting introduced to Lecrae and Triple E and, you know, the whole 116 click group. And so I literally, as I was playing my guitar, like these words would come to my mind. And then I befriended some guys in FCA that were part of, they did rap, both secular and Christian. And they had a recording studio inside their house they built. It was good. But I have written, recorded, and performed three different type of rap songs.
Yes.
And I was part of FCA, and I would go and travel to the middle schools and do these raps, the church, and do the raps with these guys.
Did you ever sign an autograph? I just don't know. Like, did people like,
oh, what if she was like, oh, I have one in my backpack right here if you want.
Yeah.
Is this on YouTube anywhere?
It used to be on MySpace, but that is gone. Yeah. Oh, man.
Drop it into the end of this podcast if we find it.
Okay. I'm feeling a little encouraged. I will do a little ditty. I'll do a ditty.
Dude,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So I'm pretty skinny and I grew up, y'all, I eat a lot of food. Okay. And I know a lot of people hate me for that, but I do have a high metabolism. Don't hate me. So, but people oftentimes, and people that, you know, might have more weight, it hurts to hear like, oh, you need to lose weight. Well, it hurts too when people say like, when's the last time you ate a cheeseburger or a milkshake? Like hearing that over and over, it starts to bug you. So anyways, I wasn't getting beat down, but I was just realizing people speaking about their image, just it needs to stop. And so I wrote a song called Supermodel, and I'll just do it real quick. And yeah. I might freeze because it's been 10 years.
Yes.
So let's see if I can remember. So it was click, click, flash is the image that she's got when she closes her eyes and cancels out the worldly images that keep consuming her soul. No, she won't let go of her dreams. She'll keep one foot in front of the other, walking that long and narrow path just like that runway. Yeah. In a dash, she will look to God to light her way all the way to the end. The only conception she wants to perceive is God's unending love and mercy. She hopes the only cover she ever envies is that of the book of truth. Because she knows her worth is more than any diamonds or pearls because she's the Lord's baby girl. So
that was the first.
I was sitting here trying to get my camera out because I was like, we have to videotape this. That was amazing.
Awesome.
It was a fun time. I'm glad I did it. One of my girlfriends at the time helped do a chorus for another song, and another song I did was my testimony, and it was a good way. Honestly, it was music therapy for me, mm-hmm. more than anything.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. Well, hey. Appreciate you coming in.
Well, thanks, guys. This was enjoyable. Yeah.
It was good to meet you, and I'm sure everybody's going to learn a little bit more about your story. It's fantastic. No, thanks.
I love that you guys are doing this. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you.